to Washington next, where, as you heard in the bulletin, the United States Senate has approved the Epstein Transparency Bill. The lower house of Congress also voted to approve the bill, which compels the Department of Justice there to release all files and documents relating to the convicted sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. Sean Whelan, our Washington correspondent, has been telling us what happens next.
What happens now is that President Trump is supposed to sign it imminently, we're told, as soon as a formal properly dusted version arrives from the Congress. He's supposed to sign it. And then within 30 days of him signing it, it comes into action and the Justice Department is supposed to have handed over by then all of the available information that they have on Jeffrey Epstein, all unclassified documents relating to the Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell investigations. And that would include things like flight logs, metadata, internal memos from the Justice Department and its investigating arm, the FBI, which is the all-important stuff, and immunity agreements, so we know who got special deals or what kind of deals were cut with Epstein and indeed who cut those deals. The internal memos are the important bit because they will include the interviews that the FBI conducted with victims of Maxwell and Epstein ahead of his 2019 indictment. The names of the victims will be redacted, but presumably all of the other information is going to be included for publication. But there are some get-out clauses in there, such as active investigations. And we know the president on Friday ordered the Justice Department to start some new investigations into people, prominent Democrats such as Bill Clinton, whose names propped up in the last batch of emails that were published last week. And because they're active investigations, the FBI could turn around and say, or the Department of Justice could turn around and say, can't release this information because it's part of an active file. And how big is an active file? Well, I think we're going to have to find out. So whilst the publication, whilst the effect of the now Epstein Transparency Act will come into effect pretty quick, I think it's probably best not to hold your breath if you're expecting all kinds of disclosure. There's one kind of parallel act that we probably draw some attention to here. That's the 1992 JFK Assassination Records Act, which had a deadline of 2017, hadn't been complied with by 2017. That was all of the government information held on the JFK killing way back when. Trump ordered a fresh release of that. A little bit happened, but nothing really. And again, he repeated that executive order this year, directing that all information on JFK be released. And guess what? We're still waiting for some of the JFK files to drop.
Now, Donald Trump had been implacably opposed to the releasing of these files for many months. What changed his mind?
Public pressure and a revolt by the Republican Party in Congress. And the public pressure had come on those members of Congress, and a campaign had been built up on the outside by the victims of Epstein, but also inside the Congress, led by Ro Khanna, the Democrat, and Thomas Massey, the Republican. They co-sponsored this piece of legislation. And the fact that you had three Republicans, in addition to Tom Massey, three women who had effectively put their careers on the line to defy the president over this. And once they had got the numbers, the magic number of 218, when a by-election winning member of the Democrat Party had been sworn in last week, she was the all-important number that got this piece of legislation onto the House floor for a vote. And at that point, because it had been unstoppable, a lot of the other members, the Republican members, said, that's it, I'm going over onto the side that is popular with my voters, because they're all facing re-election next year, just under 12 months' time. And it was clear by the weekend that at least 100 members of the Republican Party were going to break ranks and vote for this legislation, that the president and his chief ally in Congress, Speaker Mike Johnson, had done everything they could to stop from getting to the floor. So on Sunday night, Trump just went with the wind, really, bowed to the inevitable.
Separately, Sean, Donald Trump met with Saudi Arabia's de facto leader, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, in the Oval Office yesterday. Here's ABC News chief White House correspondent Mary Bruce putting a question to both about the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi at the Saudi consulate in Istanbul in 2018.
Your Royal Highness, the US U.S. intelligence concluded that you orchestrated the brutal murder of a journalist. 9/11 families are furious that you are here in the Oval Office.
Who are you with? Who are
Why
you with?
Should Americans trust
who are you?
You
with?
And the same to you, Mr. President.
Now, who are you with?
I'm with ABC News, sir.
You're with who?
ABC News, sir.
Fake news. ABC fake news. One of the worst. One of the worst in the business. But I'll answer your question.
Thank you.
And here's how President Trump and Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman responded.
As far as this gentleman is concerned, he's done a phenomenal job. You're mentioning somebody that was extremely controversial. A lot of people didn't like that gentleman that you're talking about. Whether you like him or didn't like him, things happen. But he knew nothing about it, and we can leave it at that. You don't have to embarrass our guest by asking a question like that.
About the journalist, it's really painful to hear anyone that been losing his life for no real purpose or nothing illegal way. And it's been painful for us in Saudi Arabia. We've did all the right steps of investigation, etc., in Saudi Arabia, and we've improved our system to be sure that nothing happened like that. And it's painful, and it's a huge mistake, and we are doing our best that this doesn't happen again.
On the BBC, Jamal Khashoggi's widow, Hanan El-Attar Khashoggi, called on the Crown Prince to apologise for her husband's murder.
And now I'm seeking his help to get the remaining of my husband's body, to bury him in a dignified way, and to get official apology and to get compensated. They ended my life. The day they killed my husband, they killed me with my husband. Every day I say the daylight, I wish to be dying.
Sean Whelan still with us. Donald Trump is very close to Saudi Arabia, Sean.
Yes, he is. His family does a lot of business there, as was also pointed out by some journalists asking some fairly pointed questions of him. He's also, though, in terms of US government policy, being close to Saudi Arabia because he wants to pull Saudi Arabia into his master plan for the Middle East region, the Abraham Accords, which would see normalization of relations between Arab countries and Israel. And that's getting Saudi Arabia, the big power in the region, as well as Israel, into a formal agreement between themselves is the big prize that would reshape the Middle East. The president, again, pushing the Crown Prince to see, would he go into it? The Crown Prince saying, yeah, we'd like to go into it, but we also want to be sure that we see a clear path to a two-state solution with Palestine and a clear peace between Palestinians and Israelis, effectively putting that one off on the long finger. And the president did give him various concessions, selling him some F-35 fighter planes, planes that only the Israelis are the only other people in that region who have those planes. Bibi Netanyahu reportedly not happy about it, but nevertheless, it's going ahead. The Saudis saying that they're going to invest $1 trillion in the US economy. Quite a feat. It's bigger than their entire sovereign wealth fund, and it's virtually as big as the entire Saudi economy, GDP, for 1 year. So a massive amount of money, but no timeline on it. But the really difficult point for both the president and the Crown Prince was that exchange you played there, where he was asked about Jamal Khashoggi and that phrase used by the president, things happen, about the murder of Khashoggi. Well, that's coming back to haunt him in today's Washington Post. An editorial in today's Washington Post headlined Things Happen, because Khashoggi was an occasional columnist in that newspaper, said the president's remarks dishonoured Khashoggi's legacy, stand at odds with the facts, and are beneath the office of the president.
That's Sean Whelan, our correspondent in Washington. It's 7:33. Brian Jennings has the latest news.